again.
Just Horseshoe Rock and Roll
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. I want to thank you guys for listening to the last episode. That was a fun one, and I appreciate the emails and messages I got. Don't forget that if you want to message me about something that I say, you could go to podcastrockcity1, that's the number one, at gmail.com. The last show I did was about the Kiss Cruise, and apparently there's a lot of you going on that boat. And I'll be there too, and we're going to have a lot of fun. Also, don't forget, go back and listen. I've done a lot of shows now, so if there's a topic that you're interested in, go and listen and rate me on iTunes. That would be a huge, gigantic help. And subscribe, because subscribers are what I need. Anyway, don't forget, go to podcastrockcity.com. You'll see a little thing up there that says T-shirts. Open up that, click buy a t-shirt, and actually you could get t-shirts and stickers and hoodies. I bought a hoodie and it kicks major butt. It's warm and cozy and comfy. It's like, I don't know. Anyway, let's talk Kiss. News of the day: Steve Cornell apparently got arrested for allegedly being involved in some kind of child pornography. This is awful bad news. Allegedly, because he hasn't been convicted yet, so that's a big thing. But I saw a question Mitch LaFon put up, and basically the question was, should Christine 16 and Going Blind come out of any kind of future Kiss set? For those of you that don't know, those are about young love, older men, young loving younger people. Anyway, I'll tell you how I feel about that. No, I don't have a problem with the song. I mean, we all know it's tongue in cheek. It's not, anyway, that's ridiculous. That in my point of view, although, if Steve Cornell is convicted of this, what a dirtbag. Anyway, Ace Frehley, I don't really want to talk about that a lot because it's sad. It really is sad, and I know you guys think it's sad, but of course I had to talk about it real quick because it was the news of the day. Ace Frehley, he did an interview, and he was asked to say one nice thing about each member of Kiss. Damn. And he was able to pull it out. He said Paul Stanley is a great songwriter, and he really knows how to put a song together. He has written some great pop songs and rock songs over the years, and I guess that's nice. That's really nice. But he also stuck a knife in Paul's side when he said, "I should produce the next Kiss record." It's like, Ace, I love you, man, but you could have used a producer on your record. Let's move on. He also said that Paul was not the same guy off stage as he was on stage, and we already knew that. But what he also said was, after the shows, Peter and I would hook up. Ha ha ha. Anyway, he said they would hook up and they would party. And what Paul was doing by himself, I don't know. And that, to me, I want to say, in my personal view, is another zinger on Paul. It's not very nice, Ace. Anyway, let's see. Next, they asked him about Peter, and he said Peter was funny. He talked about Peter doing imitations and stuff like that for Ace and the bodyguards, and he even said that he would dress up, and one of his favorite ones was Dr. Rosenblum, and he would dress up and he would do this imitation. He, of course, Ace didn't try to imitate Peter doing imitation of Dr. Rosenblum. Thank God. I'm just going to go ahead and say that because I can't imagine. I would have just ruined the thought in my head of Peter being funny. But anyway, he said that that was one of Peter's great things, was that he really liked to make people laugh, and he was apparently very successful. Next was Eric Carr, and he You know, it's really funny because he always mentions partying with people. It's almost like, is that really all you did? You partied with people? That's the next one. I partied with Eric a few times, you know, and he was a little distant, you know, because he knew that Paul and Gene frowned upon that. But he also mentioned that he had written a couple songs with Eric. He did say that he was close with Eric. He said Breakout, he wrote, you know, with Eric, and he did it at their apartment. He says we penned it together, and that was really cool to hear about Eric. I wasn't sure. Next up was Eric Singer, and he said Eric is a solid guy. He's an awesome drummer, a wonderful drummer, impeccable timing. He said he was solid on and off the stage when they did the farewell tour, and Eric, I guess, went to Australia with them. He said he didn't have a problem with him, of course, and then he said, unlike other people that I did, which is another jab. It's just so funny. You can't say something nice without still, like, you it's like you're whispering in one ear, hey, you're awesome, but the other, you got your hand around on the other side and you're smacking him in the head. Then they got to Gene, and he said, a lot of people don't know it, but Gene and I used to room together, and he said that he had called him just a couple of months earlier, right as he was about to do the final mix on Space Invader, and he said that they talked on the phone for 25 minutes reminiscing about the 70s, and you know, he said that his favorite quality about Gene was that he would tell you to your face exactly the way it was. You didn't have to worry about him talking behind your back, and he said that was an awesome thing. He goes, he's not always right, and he goes he tries to rewrite history. He goes, because I wasn't kicked out of the band, I left the band twice, he said, but still Gene will look you in the face. He also said that Gene's bark is worse than his bite, which is a nice one. Now here's the thing. They did not ask him about Tommy Thayer. Now, obviously, he didn't play with Tommy Thayer, but he knows Tommy Thayer. And there are interviews online where you can hear Ace say, oh, Tommy's awesome, Tommy's sweet, I love Tommy. And then there's others where you hear, oh, I punched Tommy in the face, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I wonder if before they did this interview, it was like, you can ask me about anybody in the band, but just don't ask me about Tommy. I wonder, because you would think that would naturally be the question. I mean, that's the question I would want to know. It's like, you know, why you got such a beef? You quit the band. Now this dude's dressed up, you know, as you, I guess, or the spaceman, you know, but you left. So what's the problem? You know, it's not like, you know, you were kicked out and then I don't know. That's a tough one. And I'm imagining that Ace's people or like, no Tommy Thayer questions. But if you want to listen to that interview or watch that interview, it's I saw it online. LiveWire are the people that did it. And it's just a really good interview. It's kind of cool. The guy had like a cheat sheet in his hand of the members, and I wasn't really sure if he knew. I mean, because a real Kiss fan, well, I mean, he's a reporter and maybe he's not a big Kiss fan, but I would not have needed a cheat sheet to say Paul Stanley, Eric Carr, Eric Singer, Gene Simmons, Peter Criss. Tell me about these guys. You know, he had to go down a list, which was really interesting. That's the topic news-wise. Now I wanted to tell you guys, I was going to put the original Kiss albums, makeup albums, all the way up to Creatures of the Night in order, love them the best to love them the least, and I'm going to tell you why I love them, and then I want your emails of why I'm right and why I'm wrong. Okay, so here we go. Number one on my list, Kiss Best Makeup Albums. Now, this is all their albums makeup, you know, minus like any, just the core ones, no imports, no originals, or, you know, we don't need that. Number one is Kiss Alive. When I am downstairs and I'm like, hey, I want to listen to a Kiss album, first thing I go to is Alive because of its sound, and it just I mean, everybody knows it is kick-ass. It is the reason why, in my opinion, why Kiss became so big. It came out in 1975. It went platinum 4 times. I Want to Rock and Roll All Night. The live version became such a huge thing on there. But the reason why I love it mostly, besides that, and, you know, it's really strange because my top, you know, it changes. You know, sometimes I love this album, number one, and sometimes it's Love Gun. But today when I'm doing this, I'm going, man, I do go to Alive most. So, but Black Diamond, 100,000 Years, the concert, whole, you know, Let Me Go Rock and Roll. It's just so bombastic and so amazing, the whole album, from start to finish. And you really, really feel like you're at a concert. I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know already, but if you haven't listened to that in a while, put it on. Just crank it up, and you just, I mean, you fall in love with the band again. Next on my list is Love Gun. I, you know, this album to me is almost a masterpiece, except for Then She Kissed Me. I really cannot stand that song. But Love Gun, Got Love for Sale, Tomorrow and Tonight, Christine 16, Almost Human, Plaster Caster, Shock Me, a great song. I Stole Your Love is balls to the wall, rock and roll. Hooligan, Peter sings that song like a beast live. You know, the album cover, the first time I saw it, just totally blew me away. The women are drawn beautifully. And I always remember thinking that the woman in the background on the left has a head and no body. And I bet a lot of people have thought that. But, you know, that was the first time I ever saw Gene doing, like, the devil horns or the metal horns or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, it's just a beautifully drawn album cover, or painted album cover. And it's just truly amazing. And it's just another, you know, just another one of those albums that when you put it on, it's, you know, pretty great from start to finish. Number three on my list is the amazing Dress to Kill. It's the most quirky album cover they have, as far as I'm concerned. Some people say, oh, I can't stand the Kiss Unmasked album cover, but this one, you know, is really quirky, and it's funny with the, you know, the suits. To me, Gene looks so out of place, but Paul and Ace and Peter look slick, man. If you know, at least this is my opinion, they look slick. Like, if you would have dressed up Gene and just had him, you know, pose normally, it would have been, they look like gangsters. But, you know, that apparently now there is a webcam on that corner where they shot the cover. And every once in a while, if you're watching, you can see somebody go over and stand and get their picture taken in that spot. The album cover was really cool, too, because one of the spots where it says Kiss, one of the letters is missing, one of the S's is missing. And I never could understand that, why that was. And to be honest with you, I had a buddy point it out to me, because, I mean, I must have looked at the album cover 100 times, but as a kid, but it wasn't until I was a teenager when one of my buddies was like, I wonder why they kept the S off. And I was like, well, I guess it just didn't damn well fit. But this album has, it's almost like a punk rock album to me. It's so raw and so straightforward and short. It's really short. But every song on it rules, and I think, from what I'm hearing, is when I'm on the cruise in October, I'm hearing that maybe what they're going to be doing is this album beginning to end, which I think would be incredible. I would love to hear them do She or Rock Bottom. I mean, I've seen them do these songs before, but still, it's been so long, and I've seen them so many times since they've played these songs. It would be really great to hear these songs live again. Anything for My Baby, It's a song that it's not tops in my list, but it would still be so great, you know, to see live. A list, Rock and Roll Over. I'm one of those people that I think that Rock and Roll Over is way better than Destroyer. All, you know, Destroyer's a great album. I like Rock and Roll Over much more. I just think the songs are stronger. I love Calling Dr. Love. I Want You, Take Me, Making Love. These are all great, great, great songs. Mr. Speed, killer song. The album cover's cool. It's another one of those painted album cover. I heard that Sonic Boom was kind of like the new modern Rock and Roll Over cover, and that kind of sucks that they did that, if that's what they were actually doing. But Rock and Roll Over, really great album. As a matter of fact, now that I'm looking at it, when I get done recording, I'm going to slap this baby on. I'm going to put this right over here right now. There's so many songs on these albums that they could be playing live that even the casual Kiss fan that only knows the hits, they would love to hear them live because they're good rock and roll songs. But for some reason, Kiss doesn't do that. And I say Kiss, but I should really say Paul and Gene, because we know they're the ones that call the shots. Next on the list is Kiss, their first album. Another one of those records. This one, to me, is a masterpiece. From beginning to end, every song is great. The minute you put it on and Strutter kicks in, all the way to the end when you get to Black Diamond, there are no bad songs, as far as I'm concerned, on this record. I have always heard that the reason why Gene's mouth is open is because they were going to, like, superimpose fire in there, but apparently they ran out of money. And I hate Peter's makeup. Sometimes I don't even like to look at it. It's, even if you look at him, he looks miserable in that makeup. It's just, at least that's the way I look at it. I'm glad that they simplified it and made it, you know, to what we all know as Peter's makeup. Next on the list, Destroyer. This is the album that made so many people love Kiss after Alive. Like, after Alive came out, a lot of people loved Kiss. But then when Destroyer came out, even more people went, oh my God, who is this band? This is awesome. The album cover is crazy. I have seen it duplicated in so many different ways with, you know, everything from the cast of The Wizard of Oz to, I mean, they've redone this in so many ways for, you know, comedic reasons. But when you drop the needle when you were a kid and you heard the beginning to Detroit Rock City, you just were like, whoa, this is crazy. It just became, an experience to listen to the whole record. It is, I think, a concept album. I mean, Bob Ezrin being involved, obviously, he was big into that. You know, we won't even, you know, later on we'll talk about The Elder, but if you listen to this album from beginning to end and think of it as a story, it tells a story. It feels like it tells a story. And I agree with other people who talk about it like it is a concept album. I really do think that that's true. My favorite tracks on the song are, of course, Detroit Rock City, God of Thunder, Shout It Out Loud, and Flaming Youth. I love Flaming Youth. Man, one time when I was a kid, I was singing Flaming Youth in the backseat of my car, or my mom's car. She was driving, and I went and I sang the line, you know, it got to the line, if you know, about my parents, if they only knew. My mom was like, if they only knew what? That you're on drugs? And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, it's a Kiss song. You know, I was just like, it was so funny. My parents think I'm crazy. Anyway, I don't want to sing for you guys. It's awful. But I get to that if they only knew part. My mom just accused me of being on drugs. And I was just like, no, it's a Kiss song. Wake up. Anyway, that's a silly story. Next on the list is Creatures of the Night, otherwise known to me as Kiss Get Their Balls Back of the Night album. Thank God for Eric Carr and Vinnie Vincent on this album, because They could really, thicken everything up and make it so good. But let's see, favorite songs on the album: Creatures of the Night, Saint. I mean, every one of them. How about that? Creatures of the Night, Saint and Sinner, Keep Me Coming, Rock and Roll Hell, Danger, I Love It Loud, I Still Love You. That song is to me a masterpiece. Killer, War Machine, Michael James Jackson, you know, produced the album with Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons. I think that eventually, I mean, it would be smart for them if they did another record to call that guy and say, dude, you need to produce this album, not Ace Frehley and not Paul Stanley and not Gene Simmons. We want it to kick ass, and Creatures of the Night kicked ass. Also, if you look at the back, there's a, you know, a little thing, Neil Bogart, 1943 to 1982. That's sad. You know, he had so much faith in Kiss. It, you know, they are who they are because of Sean Delaney, Neil Bogart, and Bill Ecoin. Let's see. Next on the list, Hot, Hot, Hotter Than Hell. Kind of a raw album, don't you think? Sometimes I think it's thin. It's not bassy enough for me, but it's just a really good album. The cover is crazy, and I just recently saw that the chalice that like Gene is holding, I think I read that like JR has it, which is pretty interesting. I wonder what that thing would go for these days. And you know, on the cover is really cool, how they've got the, you know, the fingers holding, it looks like it's holding the album cover. It's very Asian, you know, with the Asian writing and the pictures. Ace, you know, just sitting in that like silver costume is crazy, and Paul making out with a blue chick like Captain Kirk. And then Peter with the naked chick with the star on her boob, and then Gene breathing fire, and this like, it's like you look at it, and it's just so, as a child, as a kid, you know, it just blows you away. All right, so look, we're 20-something minutes into the show. I'm going to go ahead and stop, and I'm going to finish in the next episode. So make sure you tune in next week for the end of, you know, my countdown of my favorite original Kiss records, from Kiss all the way to Creatures of the Night. Also, don't forget to go to iTunes and subscribe. I'm going to do a new thing. If you subscribe to the show, I want you to send me an email on podcastrockcity1@gmail.com. That's the number one. And I'm going to start, you know, calling you out. I'm going to start calling out all my new subscribers. And that's a cool way. And, you know, I also want to start reading emails. So whenever you email me, if it's a good one, I'm going to start reading them on the show. Don't forget to go to podcastrockcity.com. Order yourself a t-shirt or a sticker or a hat or a hoodie. And we will see you next time. Peace.
Greetings from Jan Bell, Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast wants to invite you to a rock and roll party. Join Jody Hugnot, D-Rock, and Clinton Harris for the strangest Kiss podcast known to our scientists at this time.
Pretty mystical.
Your Kiss Army bros celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder.
Kiss!
You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher, and blah, blah, blah. Just Google it. Thank you, and keep on rocking.
They are serious.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
This is a really big moment.
Hi, I'm
Cassius Morris, host of KISS podcast Creatures of the Net. Our show content includes current events of the hottest band in the land, exclusive interviews, and the trials and tribulations of being a KISS fan. You can check out our show at www.creaturesofthenet.com and on Facebook or Twitter. And if you don't know the website name by now,
well, you better learn it.
We'll see you here.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
KISS Podcast on the web. History Science Theater. We bust balls because we care.
Doctors define modern rock disorder as a sudden, intense drop in musical taste affecting all facets of the victim's lives and the lives of those around them. Over 20 million Americans suffer. Do you? Is your newfound love of Axe body spray, leather wristbands, and mountains of hair care products driving those close to you crazy? Has your overwhelming desire to crank Nickelback, drink a sixer of Natty Ice, and yell at girls from the back of a pickup truck seriously impaired your work or social life? The Decibel Geek Podcast offers new hope. The Decibel Geek Podcast, the only podcast proven effective for MRD. The Decibel Geek Podcast corrects the chemical imbalance created by listening to bands like Theory of a Dead Man and Three Doors Down, so that with time and your hosts Chris and Aaron's help, you can move toward recovery. MRD hurts. The Decibel Geek Podcast can help. Visit www.decibelgeek.com to begin the road to recovery.
It's time for some cheap talk. You're listening to Trick Chat.
Their mommy's all right. Their daddies are all right. They just seem a little weird. They even got their KISS records out. This is Ken from the PodKISS. Join me, Matt, Andrew, and BJ as we talk about four great guys and three great chords. Cheap Trick. If you're a KISS fan, chances are you've checked them out. So please check out our show, Cheap Talk with Trick Chat, available for now in the PodKISS feed.
Keep cheap tricking.
Someone, somewhere is needing to hear from you. Someone needing to know that you care. Care enough to give the gift of PodKISS. Tell a friend about PodKISS today. Download us on iTunes, friend us on Facebook, and rock your ass out. PodKISS.
That's a picture of Joseph KISS Sr., who came up with the vision of KISS in 1753.
Right, that's
of course a picture of him without makeup.
That's right, Mr. Joseph KISS Sr.
All right.
Hi, KISS fans. This is J.R. Smalling, and I'm pleased to announce the release of our new book, Out on the Streets, written by me and the other members of the original KISS crew. This book chronicles the glory days of the hottest band in the land from 1974 to 1976. You'll hear the real tales of what it was like to be on the road with KISS during those early years. For more information or to purchase, visit our website, www.theoriginalkisscrew.com. That's crew with a K. You wanted the book and you got it. And we hope that you enjoy it.